Hello and welcome to the Ham Radio Crash Course Podcast. This podcast was recorded live from the YouTube Ham Radio Crash Course channel. We stream every Friday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and try to cover many topics in amateur radio. Consider supporting us through patreon.com/Hosh Nasi, which is Hotel Oscar Sierra Hotel, Nevada Alpha Sierra India. Without further ado, let's get started. What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Ham Radio Crash Course. I am Josh Nass, KI6NAZ. I'm pumped for today, man. I got so much to talk about, so many awesome things. We are thinking about the hurricane situation in Florida, though, so keep your thoughts on the people we know there, like Loyal and Eric, the Ham Radio Concepts, right? So keep your thoughts to them. I want to say that up front and keep an eye on what's going on there. Whew, happy Friday. I'm pumped. I am pumped, man. Let me tell you. All right. How's it going, everybody? Again, I am Josh, KI6NAZ. This is the Ham Radio Crash Course. What we try to do here every week, and with my other videos as well, push for inclusivity in amateur radio, bringing people to the hobby in whichever ways they find interest and love within it. So please be supportive of newcomers, and please be supportive of people who may be interested in things that you may not know about. So work with them. Maybe you'll learn something to enjoy and have fun with, and we'll push this whole thing forward. Today we have so much to talk about, so thanks everybody for watching. I really do appreciate it. I believe we are live now. I'm using this new YouTube studio thing. Yeah, 114 people watching. That's awesome. Thanks so much for everything. So, reminder, links are in the description for our Discord and our Facebook group. Discord is the chat room service that we use for our live after chats, voice after chats and text after chats. I also simulstream the after chats on Twitch, so make sure you check that out by joining the Discord. And the link is in the description. We've got some admins in there. They may post the link for us, and that would be great. Let's see. The Patreon newsletter is going to be going out hopefully this weekend, and it's just $1 to get started once a month, and you support the channel, and you get a newsletter written by me where I talk about some of my things. This month, I'm going to be talking about my mobile car installation. I do have it up and running, and boy howdy, putting a mobile HF radio into an electric vehicle is a thing. It is a thing. Oh man, we got Cypress in the house, living right. Cypress is literally down the street from me. So glad you're here. And patron picks. Next week, patrons are picking, and we will have a patron picks for next week, which would be the 1st of September. September. Gosh, I don't know what time it is. So excited. What's going on? Well, I'll tell you in a second. Sean Brown says, beer fun. Cheers, going for my technician. Oh, there it is. It's going. I don't know that it's going to stop, though. This is the first time it went off, and now it's not working, so that's fantastic. Hold on, I got to turn that off. it did it itself. Hey, good, it goes for a little while now. It used to just go for like a second and then die, so I'm glad. Thank you, Sean Brown, I appreciate that. All right, let's see. News. So we got a lot to talk about, but the news, what's going on right now is there is a Japan ham radio show happening. Call it Hamvention, but in Japan, which I believe it's second largest or one of the largest amateur radio shows in the world, is the Japanese ham radio show. And ICOM, Ray Novak from ICOM, among other people that work for ICOM, and other companies are out there, but Ray is putting a lot of content out there of the stuff that is making it out there. So want to make sure we talk about a lot of the stuff they've got coming out in a second. But I've got one thing to share as I tap into the beer, and that's a big shout out to Will Ladd. Will Ladd sent me this cool, I'll show you this real fast, this Homeland Security field operations guide. And he sent me a cool little letter to it, right? And this is really cool. It's like waterproof pages, and it covers interoperability with different agencies. And I bookmarked a couple of spots here, and I'll read them really quickly. Do I need a license for these channels before programming them into radios? If you are licensed under Part 90 of the SEC rules, you may program frequencies that are not licensed to use if communications are involved related directly to the imminent safety of life or property.
right? Or with U.S. government stations, blah, blah, blah. So I found that interesting. And then this I found super interesting. Where is it? Did I skip it? Yeah, I skipped it. Because this is related to today, what we're going to be talking about. Here is a line of sight formula. Ooh, that's pretty blown out. Line of sight formula table that basically tells you the range you'll get based off of your transmit antenna height and the receive antenna height. So if you want to increase the range, you have to keep bumping up the antennas. If you want to get to 17 miles, you need a 100-foot antenna, right? While the receive antenna remains at 5 feet. So, wow, pretty cool stuff for line of sight. Appreciate that. Yeah, I was stepped away for a little bit from the audio there. Sorry about that. what was that? Audio not good. Oh, couldn't hear that? Oh, I thought this would have picked that up. Doot, doot, doot. Sorry about that. Okay, so what's the big news? The big news is the new ICOM 705. I've got a lot of things to talk about on this. And first, let me give a caveat and a warning. I am piecing my information together based off of what I've collected online today. So don't hold me accountable if things don't show up correctly. I did have a bit of a back and forth message conversation with Ray Novak, who is in Japan, so we're separated by a pretty big time difference, and he was gracious enough to talk to me for a little while. So what we know right off the bat is they've got this new slogan called Be Active. And it is an HF 50 megahertz, so HF plus 50 megahertz, 2 meters and 70 centimeters, single sideband CW, RIDI, AM, FM, DV, and 10 watts. More on the 10 watts as we go through it here. And this is what it looks like on the front. Now, I am on the forums at QRZ, so make sure you give credit is due. You can check them out because they have a very long discussion on this. Now, what kicked this whole thing off, another post here. There's somebody operating. The 705 just been unveiled at ICOM Tokyo Ham Fair. This is a portable HF, VHF, UHF transceiver featuring SDR technology, internal battery, GPS, Bluetooth, D-Star. Output power is 10 watts, and it can be charged via USB. So automatically up front, you're like, okay, cool. I'm listening. So then there's a video, and I don't think there's audio to this. No, there is. Really just background noise. You're not missing a lot. So hopefully you can see here in the background, right? You can see it's on the table, on the desk. Yeah, micro USB charging. David Gerald, thank you, buddy, for the beer fund. Did this? It's not going off. My light's not going off. The big thing, backpack. See that backpack? There's a backpack that's like custom sized on the top for the radio. Speaker mic. That's what that said in Japanese, I believe. And there's a side shot. So here's the side shot coming up. So side shot, which has, we'll see a better shot on that in a little bit. Oh, light flashed. Okay, so that's the video. What else we got? So there's a zoom in shot that I did on that backpack, and I've got a better picture of that coming up from Ray. That's the front panel. What else did they have that they introduced? They also introduced the IC. This is kind of a tough shot. We'll see another one in a bit. ICPWT amplifier, which has a kind of looks like a touchscreen. I don't know if it's touchscreen or not, but a lot of information there. Now, let's see. No, not that. So Ray Novak is the senior marketing manager for ICOM America, and he's out in Japan right now for the show. He did a live stream.
I was incorrect earlier.
Screen, when he's going through, scope. You can see the screen is just like a 7300.
Keir.
7300 slash 9700.
Set mode. Of course, it's all in Japanese.
Yeah. Let's see. He's got some pictures that I want to show. So this is a really good picture to demonstrate the size of it. So this is it in a backpack, and it looks like this backpack is semi-custom-ish, that they've got this little spot cut out for it, right? And that's an antenna sticking out up the top. I think that would obviously be for VHF, UHF, and that is really, really interesting. So the size is not bad. This is the amplifier. Look how that beast, man. That thing is... Whew. That is the 705 in hand with a VHF UHF antenna, and their slogan there, be active. And here's some things we know off the top of just from not speaking Japanese but reading what is in English. D-Star, it is 10 watts, which it's actually 10 watts when it's powered externally, 5 watts when it's powered with the internal battery. And the internal battery pack is the same battery pack as the ID51A. So you can take the battery packs and they're interchangeable between the handhelds. That is awesome. That is very cool. And it's Bluetooth along with GPS enabled. And that's what the little display looks like. Here is a demonstration. It looks like they're sending an image with their, I believe this is a it's like a D-Star feature. I know you can do that with the 9700, I believe. And there is sending a picture via the SD card. Yeah, so the ID51A battery pack thing, I thought that was pretty cool. So very, very interesting on that. So what do we know? All right, so I've got some notes. 5 watts when it's under the internal battery pack, 10 watts when it's externally powered, and it runs off the ID51A battery pack for 5 watts. It's portable, obviously. It has GPS. There is not an internal tuner. That's my understanding right now. Ray cleared that up for me. There is Bluetooth, and there is a picture of someone using a phone to connect to it. It has a very nice SDR display, like the 7300 and 9700. Again, VHF, UHF, HF, D-Star. It weighs 1 kilo, so just over 2 pounds. So on the larger side for a QRP radio, but I think it's competitive to that of a KX3. I could be wrong. And it has a speaker mic, or at least it's a speaker mic accessory that you can get with the radio. So far, that is what I know of this very interesting radio. I will keep you posted as I learn more. I did ask, you know, estimate, you know, it just was announced, so everybody wants to know when it's coming out. I did ask, and Ray was gracious enough to say that we'll see it at Hamvention 2020, but no estimate on when it will be released or what its price point will be. I'm guessing, just off the top of my head, somewhere between $2,000 and $1,000 price range. That's my guess at this point. There is some kind of activity going on in my front yard. I don't know what's going on. Whoa! Hey, it's working again. Hey, Sean, thank you very much for the super chat. I appreciate that. Starting your IC705 fund. Thank you for helping me pass technician and general, and really thank you for cultivating this online family. Family. We call it the ham fam. I like it. We'll stick with that. Thanks very much, Sean. I appreciate that. The Smokin' Ape is saying $1,250. Yeah, I think it's a safe thing to say the price that the 7300 was released at. I think that's fair. Also, by the way, go follow Ray Novak. Very, very cool what he's got going on. Check him out on Facebook. Some of the stuff he's got going on over there. It's really cool. He's got a really interesting live stream that he did that shows a clear plexiglass 9700, and it breaks down the different transmitters that are in it, because it has one for 2 meters, 70 centimeter, and then 1.2 gig, I believe. Very, very cool. Hosh and Hams is good too, but I like Ham Fam. I don't know. So I'm going to crack open this beer right now. We're going to get into some slides and do a little demonstration, because what we're here to talk about today, before we got inundated with Ham Radio Christmas, which is happening in Japan right now. Keep in mind, right, it should make sense, but because a lot of the companies are Japanese, they're likely going to introduce products in Japan during this event. So this is when we hear about lots of cool stuff. So yeah, for those of you that are also, it looks like Ray's in there saying they'd have to price it under the KX2, KX3, I think, or there'd be no reason to not go with the Elecraft. You know, don't know. You got Bluetooth, you got GPS, you have VHF, UHF, which with the Elecraft, the VHF is an add-on. And I don't have any confirmation on this, but if there's one USB connection, boy, oh boy, that is going to be very, very special, because that's going to scratch the last itch for my QRP triad. Sean says, Josh, I really need you to get your extra so you can help me pass mine. Yeah, I'm being lazy. All right, so here we go. We're going to tap into the beer before we tap into some radio. Ooh, that's not going to work at all. Boop. All right, we've got a very special beer. This is the Serpine by Upland Sour Ales. Another sour, barrel-aged fruited sour ale. This is not a cheap beer. Aged in whole cantaloupe and oolong tea. I don't even know what I'm getting into. But it's not that high in alcohol. Most sours are not. So, Mike Lutz says, no ATU, bummed. Yeah, so this is an interesting point. And I... So, you know, let's keep in mind something. Elecraft just came out with that AX1, right? That AX1 antenna. And, oh, by the way, news on Elecraft. If you have an AX1, they have an attachment coil that you can get, which I just bought, so we will have more on that soon, that will turn your AX1 into 30 and 40 meters as well. Ooh, this thing's fizzy. Very, very fizzy. This is going to be... I can hear it. I don't know if you can hear it on the microphone. It's quite fizzy. That is a fizzy, fizzy beer. Okay. Whoa, I can smell it. Oh my god. Ooh-woo. Ooh-woo indeed. Okay. Wow, somebody turned something on. I just got a ton of RFI spikes on my 7300. Yes, Ham Radio 2.0 glass, for those of you that missed it. Picked that up in Dayton. That was a gift from Jason. So I got the ICOM hat sitting there because we got a lot of ICOM going on today. We're going to be using an ICOM radio. We're talking about ICOM because ICOM has got the heaviest involvement happening. At the Japanese ham radio event. Franklin, thank you, buddy. Thanks for the advice, Josh. I went with the Wolf River coil. I'm so glad that you went that way. Franklin was wondering if he should go Super Antenna, which is a kit that's available on Amazon. And I just recommended he check out the Wolf River coils. And I think that's a better one. So, very good. W4IPC. I'm a shill for every radio company. My car is loaded with the ASU. My desk is got a 7300. And my HTs that I got lined up here is a Kenwood, a Yaesu, a Kenwood. I'm sorry, yeah. Two Yaesus, two Kenwoods. So I'm an equal opportunity offender of radios, as I like to say. All right, so what are we talking about? How to make an amateur radio contact. That's what we're talking about today. So you might be thinking, boy, you've really been hitting the beginner stuff pretty hard. Well, you know, we've got a lot of people that joined us. Actually, a very large amount of people that joined us from the Modern Rogue episodes. So if any of you are from Modern Rogue, if you want to throw a comment up there and say, you know, just want to say thank you for checking it out if you're still watching us. Really appreciate it because it means a lot. I'm glad I can get the information out there. All right. So the best thing to start out with is you want to – oh, hey, Tex Aviator 23, first time catching you live. Cheers. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. So – you want to give yourself the best possible chance for success, right? Because what we're talking about is largely going to be simplex on 2 meter, 70 centimeter, and HF. We kind of talked about HF last week, so we're going to kind of be connecting that together with making a contact, right? That's the whole point of amateur radio, is to make a contact. So the first thing, I'm going to start from the lowest level and work my way up. So if you're on an HT, you got to go outside. Sorry to say, you got to go outside. If you're on a mobile, you need to get your antenna as high as possible. And why is that? Well, this is why. This list here that we just said. If you want to go, you know, 17 miles, you need 100 feet of antenna height. I think that's a little over the top. I'll explain why in a second, because we've got tropo ducting that helps us out a lot. Hey, Russell from TMR, catching you for the first time. I appreciate that. Very good, very good. Thank you. So always be scanning is something I like to say. It's not exactly what you're going to work for simplex, but it's good when you're on a band to be scanning around, particularly on HF, scan around all the time, and listen to what the people are saying and how they're saying it. And you'll begin to pick up how you conduct a contact. And there are different types of contacts, which we'll break down. Uh-oh, why did it just... My slides just shrunk. What's going on there? Sorry about that. Okay. Program your simplex frequencies. You should already probably have this done, but you want to have as many of the simplex frequencies as you can into your radio, and program your active repeaters as well. And that will give you a good leg up. All right, HTs continued. Here's those HTs that I was referencing that are sitting on my desk right now. Let go of the rubber duck. Every one of those HTs that you see in front of you does not have a rubber duck antenna. In fact, I have lost, I think, all of the rubber ducks for those radios, except for maybe that Yaesu FT60. They're gone, and good riddance. You need to get elevation, usually with an HT, and you need to go outdoors, as I already said. The reality of it, the true painful reality is, if you want to work simplex, if you want to work radio to radio and of any appreciable distance, you're likely going to have to step away from the HT. You're going to have to step up to a mobile. This is the back of my Nissan Leaf. You can barely see it there, but I'm running a Comet antenna. By the way, the A store is back, so the links for these products that I have reviewed and supported are in the video description. And remember, I am an Amazon associate, so anything you purchase, I get a piece of the action, so thank you very much. Hold on one second. Ben, can you please close the door? Thank you very much. Your brother is too loud. Thank you for playing the game. So that is my Nissan Leaf. And my roof, I have a much larger 17-foot dual-band antenna. And the more antenna you have, the better. You know, all my calls on Simplex have been mainly with my 50-watt radios, aside from my Soda. But with Soda, you're up on a big hill, and you're getting, you know, going back to how high you're up, you're well up over 1,000 feet in often most cases, so you're going to get 48 miles based off of what, you know, Homeland Security says. Although, again, you work on tropospheric ducting in a bit. So make sure that Simplex, you're trying to work more power, which is going to be better for you, and that's going to help for making some of these contacts. In my car yesterday, right, in my car driving home from Redondo Beach, I made 2 contacts on Simplex. And I know I've heard it many, many times that Simplex is dead. And depending on where you live, that may be. In Southern California, Simplex is always popular. There's always something going on Simplex. Throughout the day, I was sitting here preparing for the video, and I had Simplex on, running off my 2730A, my Icon, to my antenna, which I'll show a picture of in a second. And it was just... There was tons of people coming in. I made a contact with, what's his name? Where is it? WR6RG, I believe. Or is it W? Yeah, WR6RG, something like that. 100 miles to the Tijuana border. Logic 44, any way to make the band plans easier to memorize? Yes, use them more. And until you use them, go buy one of these charts. These charts that break down what the band spaces are and how to use them. This is made by Nifty. I am not affiliated with this company, but the Nifty guides, where's the front of this thing? There it is. The Nifty quick reference cards, these guys. HF, VHF, UHF band operation guide. In particular, the one for 2 meters is really helpful. Let me explain why. Because it goes into an absurd amount of detail, breaking down all the frequencies and what they're used for, right, for 2 meters. So very, very good. And I try to keep that with my shack or whichever I'm working off of. And, yeah, they have phone apps, and there is always the ARRL band plan, which we actually talked about last week for HF, right? So if you want to, you can go watch that video again. Oh, yes, they. Ray Henderson says Nifty makes great radio instruction cards, too. They do. I really like their cards. All right. So just playing around, 17-foot antenna on top of my house, 50 watts. I was talking to someone in Tijuana, and it was almost full quieting. Very, very strong signal. All right. So here's a big, big tip, right? Big tip. Get yourself an HT. And get yourself a mobile that can do crossband repeating. And what that will let you do is transmit just walking around your house. Maybe you're on a hike not too far away from your car, right? You're going to transmit with your HT into your mobile. Your mobile is going to amplify that signal and transmit out to the crossband repeating frequency, right? So you're going to receive on your handheld, and you're going to transmit out of your car. Works really well. And, you know, that TYT 9800 that I have in my car, $200, $230, $250 on Amazon, that does crossband repeat. And you can work that with any of your analog radios. So pretty much everything. And that'll give you an opportunity to have a bigger antenna, 50 watts, and you can still operate from your hand and your handy talkie. A cheap way to do that is to have a 12-volt battery on a trickle charger and then just keep that topped off and left running. You're likely not going to burn out your battery or anything like that. It can be a little rough if you're trickle charging and using the radio at the same time to draw a lot. But again, you know, it's a good thing. It's a good way to run. Or just have a power supply that actively feeds the radio. Let's see. Sean Bales says, bought the TYT 9800 and sent it back because it wouldn't even receive on other bands than the ham bands. I didn't know that. Really? I'll have to go look. Huh. And the 400 XDR does crossband. Good to know. All right, so that's my tips on kind of what you need. You don't need a lot, really, to work Simplex. And I, again, mobile radios, I think, aside from like FTM 400s and what's the ICOM, 4250, something like that, the expensive mobile radios, just dual band mobile radios, very inexpensive and easily available in the used market for not a lot of money at all. In fact, the TRW swap meet is tomorrow if you are in the Redondo Beach area, Southern California. There's always mobile radios there that you can pick up for very, very little, and they work really well. And you don't need a lot of antenna either. You can use oftentimes the ground plane antennas that you'll mount on your house, you know, $50 to $120 for a brand new one, and that works fine. Franklin Lewis asks, you still looking for a 480HX? So, I kind of am, but I'm playing with the Yaesu right now because I already had it. I had it for something else, and there will be a video coming out for my mobile car installation. It's going surprisingly well. I've got like two more things I got to do. I've got some Lido mounts that are sitting behind me here that I need to get to finishing that up. But I've been very happy driving to work with HF radio at the ready. It's been awesome. So call in CQ. There's my 17-foot antenna, which is a bit washed out against the. Oh, Lawrence comes with the important detail to go back to the IC705. Sorry to change gears on you guys. Ray said internal sound card, USB connection to an internal sound card for the radio so that you can operate digital modes with one cable. Guys, we have a very important thing that just happened. What is going on in front of my house? Sorry. Oh, that was my wife coughing very loudly and then closing the door loudly. I hope you didn't hear that. Anyway, so internal sound card. That completes the triad. That completes the triad, although the tuner thing is interesting. Man. I don't know what to think now. I don't know what to think. I'm of multiple minds. All right. So what do you do when you want to call CQ? All right, you got your antenna up, you got your radio set up, you got it on an adequate power supply, and you're like, I want to make a call. I want to talk to somebody. The traditional way of making a call, particularly if you're on HF, is CQ, call in CQ. This is your call sign here. In my case, Kilo India 6, November Alpha Zulu, CQ and listening. And you can add more to that or take more things out, but just keep in mind that you want to give your call sign a couple of times. Some people say something like KI6NAZ first and then give a Kilo India 6 November Alpha Zulu. When I'm on HF, I always speak phonetically with my call sign. I don't give the KI6NAZ first. I give the phonetic out all the way. And I always do it that way. When I am on a simplex frequency like 146.520, which we just refer to as 50 often, I just say KI6NAZ calling CQ on 520. And sometimes that's it. Or I wrap it up with CQ for Kilo India 6 November Alpha Zulu. Usually, and if you've got a lot of simplex action, a lot of people will just give their call sign and say monitoring. And that's traditionally what you would use with a repeater, but when you have an active simplex area like we do here in Southern California, you can kind of get by just saying KI6NAZ listening. Pretty easy. They said, nah. So 395 Expeditions, hey, Josh, I called CQ on 2 meters and got scolded. They said CQ is only for HF. So that's why I use the abbreviated one. I just say KI6NAZ calling CQ on 520. Or monitoring is fine too, like I just said. Okay, we'll keep going because I've got another slide on that later, but there's no reason you can't say CQ on simplex. I wouldn't repeat the long one like I would on HF. I wouldn't give it phonetically, for example, my call sign. Yeah. Anyway, so joining a conversation already in place, you have two people talking, right? And then there's a break, a lull in the conversation. There's a pause. It would seem reasonable to just say break, and then, you know, they're going to let you in. They're going to say, breaking station, go ahead. Reality, though, the word break, you want to save that for emergency traffic. Instead, just say your call sign. So people are talking, just throw your call sign out there. In fact, it happened today on Simplex. We were talking, I was talking to, and I wrote it down, where's Charles, KM6CEM, I believe it was. If I have that wrong, Charles, and you're watching, because we talked about him potentially watching. Somebody broke in, I believe it was the station in TJ, that said, hey, that power supply you guys are talking about, they're actually in Irvine, California, and they'll do a repair job for like $25, which is awesome. Bruce, hang on, Bruce, don't steal my thunder. And then sometimes it's acceptable to say comment. I see that most used on repeaters, particularly when they're having a cool conversation on something that you may know about, right? Comment is completely justifiable on saying, hey, comment, you know, just want to dive in and say whatever. And they're supposed to say, okay, go ahead, station, go ahead, comment, station, etc. And that is generally what you do. So don't use break, use your call sign. Okay, calling on a repeater. Don't call CQ on a repeater. Okay, for everybody that's got your radios programmed and you've got a repeater, you have you're trying not to kerchunk. You want a kerchunk, but you don't know if it's going to work or not. Craig Walker said, "Is that the Homeland Security book, the National Interoperability Field Guide?" Yes, it is. I have one. I believe it's from 2011, but I don't care. It's pretty cool. You don't say CQ. You say this is your call sign KI6NAZ monitoring. And sometimes, which works pretty well, you say, your call sign looking for a radio check. Now, I've found between those two that your call sign, this is your call sign looking for a radio check, gets a lot more replies. And I think, I've thought about this for a long time, I think the reason is that people have a desire to kind of help. And then there are some people who want to, like, show that they know, and they are, like, pressured to respond. So you get a lot of that. And so I think that going, this is, you know, KI6NAZ, looking for a radio check is a lot easier oftentimes. But then it's kind of like, well, are you going to do that every time you key up? Like, you've been going there for a week, and every time you start talking, you say, I need a radio check. And they're like, man, this guy's an idiot. Can't get his radio working. So just say monitoring. Signal check's fine, too. But signal check, if you live in the same area and you got access to the repeater, how much signal checks do you need? You know it works. So just say KI6NAZ monitoring. Makes sense? Hopefully that makes sense. I think it does. All right, so big point in all this, we got to take a pause here. Remember your call sign. Remember to give your call sign. I like to give it when you're starting up a contact, right? It's a part of calling CQ. It's a part of saying I'm monitoring. It's a part of asking for a signal report. And then you're obligated by FCC rules to give it every 10 minutes and when you end a contact. Very important to do. You're like, why is that clock there? Well, this clock, aside from being a clock that can get atomic time, has a ID timer on the top. So, man, that's on a hair trigger. Come on, buddy. Oh, great. Now it's all stuck on ID timer. Well, I guess we're going to test this. I barely tapped it and the thing turned on. So every 10 minutes, this will give you a quick audio tone just to remind you to give your call sign, which is fantastic. You got to make sure you do that so that you're in line with the laws. And it's I've never really had a problem per se. You know, when you're wrapping up, you're going to hand it back to somebody. You're going to give your ID, or you're going to call their ID and give their and your ID. And that's a good way. We'll get that in a second. But I kind of always wrap up with my call sign when I've been blathering on for a while. Your repeaters in your area generally have like a 3-minute timeout before you fill it up, and they gotta wait. You gotta release the key to reset. So 3 minutes is about where I cut it. But if you're on HF, people just go. People will go past the 10-minute mark of just blathering on in some cases. So make sure you got a reminder on that one. Rag chews. Rag chews can be on repeaters or on HF. Maybe not so much on simplex, because simplex is a call frequency, right? So rag chew is just a bunch of radio people talking on the air. It's a chat room with their voice. It's a Discord voice chat via RF. So how you get a rag chew started is usually pretty easy. If you've got somebody you meet on simplex, you make a contact on 146.520, you can just say, hey, why don't we go up to insert frequency here and continue this conversation? And in fact, what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to tune my radio to 146.555 for those that are local, if they can get me, and we'll maybe simulate some cues. Oop. I don't know if there's anybody monitoring that's actually close to me. I think there are a few, but I am in Cerritos, California. So if you're watching this and you think you can hit me, which I've got a pretty big antenna, you probably can. So give it a shot. Anyway, this would be like a rag chew frequency. So you can hop on there and you can talk and, you know, have a good old time with it. Rag chew again is just a chat room in the sky. So make sure that when you're talking and you're going back and forth that you do give your call sign every 10 minutes. And again, I like to do it every time I wrap up and hand it back to the other station, because, and this happens a lot on HF, when it's more than just two people, right, and you have like kind of a round table going. A round table is where one call sign will end and another call sign will pick that up. They'll end and another call sign will pick that up, and the order actually is something that you keep track of. So it was me, and then it's Bob, and then after Bob, it's Jim, and after Jim, it's Toby, and you just go around, and so you got to remember who's going to call you to start your roundtable blather time, and then the call sign you're going to call when you wrap up, right? So it's a good idea to have a pen and paper, right, so you can keep track of calls and all that as you're doing your rag chewing. So keep that in mind. Calling frequency... Yeah, so move off the calling frequency. Remember to give your call. And leave spaces. Leave a breath, a moment for someone to key up and say, hey, I'm out here. Comment their call sign so that you can say, oh, hey, we got a station that wants to hop in. So take a breath. A lot of people forget to do that, on repeaters specifically. It's a big problem. It makes actually... ham radio oftentimes very frustrating when you have a topic that you're really interested in or passionate about or knowledgeable about, and you're trying to get in there and somebody's just like blah 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 blah, and then he unkeys and the repeater hasn't even reset and somebody quick keys it and they go back and forth blah 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 blah, and they never let anybody else in. It happens all over the place, and it's an absolute pain in the butt. So make sure, particularly if you're rag chewing on a repeater, let that repeater reset. You'll burn that sucker up. But, you know, it's the right thing to do. UberGeek318 says, I'm guilty of this. Hey, hey, at least you have the dignity, your dignity to call it out when you do. Stephen Wall shows up late and drunk. Oh, Sam Meyer says, I'm on 146555. Can you hear me in Corona? I should be able to. Well, let me get through some of the slides. If anybody wants, I should be able to. 146555, right? Yeah. Anyway, we'll give that a shot in a second. I've only got a couple more slides, and then we'll try and work some contacts. I usually give five. Yeah. Angel's got the right idea. He says I usually give it 5 seconds after the ka-chunk of the repeater. Yeah. James Roy asks, thoughts on Baofeng UV5R for starting on ham radio. Yes. You can start on ham radio fine with that. Absolutely. It's like I've never done any videos on that radio. But yeah, I'm being facetious. Absolutely. Okay, so here's, I think, one of the last ones. But so there are different types of contacts, right? Obviously, there's simplex contacts like we talked about that some people say don't call CQ, right? We just heard that. Don't call CQ on simplex. Well, it's not really that big a deal, but I guess colloquialisms are different in ham radio. But there are actual different types of contacts you can make. Contests, SOTA, DX, they're all a little bit different. I've covered these all in separate videos. So actually, I don't think I've covered DX in much, but maybe because my antenna, I can't really receive that well on my antenna. At least I feel like I can't, except to Japan and Australia, but I guess that works as DX. Keep your exchanges brief, right? That's when you've got something like a contest, a SOTA, or a DX, what are those things? Those things are an attempt to get as much contacts as possible. So for that, you need to keep your contacts and your information exchanges efficient and quick. So you're going to keep the exchange of information brief and efficient. You're going to need to know what the exchange is. Contests are always funky. They're going to need something like, I'm going to need your call sign, your grid square location, my signal strength, the receiving station, and the county you're in, right? There's an exchange for a contest. So just have that stuff written down for you, right? For the station you're trying to get. SOTA. On VHF UHF, we're talking about simplex. On VHF UHF, there's a lot of people out there doing SOTA. Usually every one of the guys you watch on YouTube, every one of the guys that you watch on YouTube has a VHF UHF radio on them. I don't know of one that doesn't take one, and that they always talk on it when they're starting their QSO, or they're getting ready to start their SOTA, or they're finishing up their SOTA activation on HF. So HF radios usually take a while to set up in the field, but those VHF UHF radios, put them on simplex 520, start making calls. I've completed SOTA activations by dipping into VHF UHF, done that multiple times. Totally legal, totally fine. So SOTA, if you're in the area of mountains, if you've got mountains around you, simplex is a good spot to be because you will hear people. So make sure you understand how that works too. That's just your receive strength. So that's your call, their call. You got to understand that. And you got to be able to tell them what the signal strength is. And that's that S meter right on the bottom of your screen, which I can show in a little bit when we switch over to receiving. And then for DX, the way DX works is you work on something called split. And how split works is there's a frequency that usually gets posted for the DX station. That's the frequency that DX station is transmitting on. However, they're listening usually up 5 kilohertz or whatever. And then from that pointer, they'll list how high up they're up. And then you turn to that for transmit. So your radio is transmitting on a frequency higher than the DX station is transmitting on. That way, nobody is transmitting when the DX station is trying to transmit. The reason why that's important is DX stations are far away. And even though they're often really big, powerful stations with really awesome antennas, they're so far away that you need to listen really well. You need to pay attention. So you don't want the guy down the street from you or the guy one state over from you transmitting on the same frequency as the DX station, not knowing, right? And screwing up the context for everybody. So don't be that guy, because literally, if you key up on the DX transmit station when they're operating split, people will message you. You will get emails. If you're on QRZ, oh, there's the 10-minute timer. It went off. Okay, stop. Okay, you got to hold it down really long. Well, that works. KI6NAZ. Make sure you say your call sign. Very good. K8MRD radio stuff with a good point. You can log your VHF UHF contacts. They still count as a contact, and you can upload them to LOTW. Very good. And also correct, just not repeaters. Yeah, Outlander System says you'll get QRZ hate letters. You will if you transmit on Simplex. Don't do that. So if the desired station is not responding, they likely can't hear you. And that includes Simplex, like local VHF, UHF Simplex. They just might not be able to hear you. Wait a while and try again. Bands change, things change, and don't be the person to transmit on the DX split frequency. Okay, and that's all the slides I've got. All right, so this is my... Wow, those little spikies were not there. So somebody turned something on. There's actually a single sideband contact that just ended right there that's fallen off. But somebody's on Mount Wilson. You're on Mount Wilson or you're on the repeater? All right. Let's slide on over here. How far can I slide over? All right, we've reached the end of that. Yeah, no, we're not going to do repeaters today. We're going to try and do Simplex. So I am monitoring the calling frequency 520 and 146.555. So I'll make a call out on 555. Kilo India 6, November Alpha Zulu. CQ for Kilo India 6, November Alpha Zulu. CQ and monitoring. And that's it. That's all it is. That's how you make a call. Oh, there you go. Patrick Dickey says, Ham Radio Crash Course, it's the Hiram Percy Maxim contest weekend, celebrating his 150th birthday. Oh, man. Hey, WI9LL, I'm with you, buddy. My shack is garage bound. C-Rock asks, what fangs are full duplex? No fangs are full duplex. I'm going to go ahead and add... Oh, you can see the frequency. Hey, that's one reason I went with the 2730A for all you budding YouTube stars. The screen on this is so... The numbers are so big, you can see that a mile away. That was actually one of the reasons I went with it. That and it was used. So let me turn on call-ins. If somebody wants to call in, that is going to work for ya. Oh, somebody. Yeah, that's on 555. Now, so you can call on 146.520 and I'll hear you. But I'm not going to call on 146.520 because I think I'll just clog it up. And that's actually a calling frequency for people that, you know, may not be watching the show right now. So you guys watching the show, just hit me up on 555. And I'll illuminate that in 1 second. I guess I should also put my headphones on in case somebody calls. Oh.
Conference muted.
Okay. So that's set up too. And let's add the text back. Ah, stop. Any recommendations for an HT that does VHF, UHF, and airbands? Something that won't break the bank. Yes. This one. Zulu Michael India. Zulu Michael India, this is Kilo India 6, November Alpha Zulu. How's copy?
Copy well there. Josh, how you doing, buddy?
Very good. Was that Kilo Michael 6?
Roger that. KM6, Zulu Michael India. Kilo Mike 6, Zulu Michael India. Copy.
QSL, yeah, I've got you, I'd call that an S3 or so. You're copyable, but there's some static on top of you. How am I coming? What's the strength on it?
You're about a 5.3 on there.
And what's your QTH?
You're breaking up there, Josh. I'm hard to hear you.
What is your location? Your location, sir?
I'm in West Covina, not too far from anybody.
All right. All right, very good. Yeah, it's breaking up a little bit. So, West Covina, very good. Thank you for the contact there. 7-3.
Roger that. KM6, Zulu Michael India, 7-3.
So, there you go. It's about that easy. So, Kilo Mike 6, Zulu Mike India, way to go. From Georgia, about an hour from Savannah. I don't hear you. Yeah, no problem. Hey, so C-Rock has a good comment in there. Hey, a proper use of QSL. I use QSL a lot. A lot. And it's used a lot on HF. At least for me. I don't know if he's off frequency. I didn't think he's on 555. Maybe. FT-70 also does airbands. Yes, FT-70 also does airband. This guy, the FT2, does airband. If you're like me, though, and you find a hot deal, this radio is a steal. This does airbands. This is a great receiver. The Kenwood THF8 is a great receiver. So I don't know. Some of you guys are saying, yeah, no copy from Texas. And I hope you guys are kidding. This is line of sight radio. We're doing simplex today. Simplex VHF. Not doing that UHF stuff either. Monoband. I'm just kidding. I'm just... THF8. Yeah, Clint. I just picked it up. I picked it up at the Hamboree down in San Diego. Yeah, very excited about that. So that's kind of what you do for making a contact. We made one. So, you know, what the heck? So we'll go... CQ for Kilo India 6, November Alpha Zulu. CQ and monitoring. Let's see. Now, somebody not making it. Got a call. Ooh, I know this color. Caller, go ahead. I can't hear you, caller. Your audio is not there, caller. Mobile station, I'm having a hard time pulling you out. Are you there? Oh, we had a caller, but they left. They couldn't, I don't think they had their audio working. If K6 UDA came back, I'd be shocked. No, you guys can't hear me if you're not from Southern California. Oh, Westfalia says he's in Fullerton. You'd be able to hit me, no problem. Let's see, working through the chat. Yeah. Bruce, why can't I hear you in Texas? Ah! I don't know if you guys are being serious. I don't know if you guys are being serious or not. No, I can't hear you. Yeah, so for everybody that's saying they're looking at my 20 meters, I'm not on 20 meters. I'm on the radio above it. I'm on 2 meters. I just happen to have all my ICOMs lined up. It's like I said, it's an ICOM day. Wait, I'll put my hat on. Oh, we got a caller. Here we go. All right, caller. Caller, go ahead. No! Dom, no! Wait, I can't let that play. I'm gonna get a strike on my channel. You're gonna. No! I'm gonna get a strike! Oh no! Why did you do that? Okay. I'm worried about that now. Hopefully that was not long enough that I'm gonna get, that I'm gonna get, what do you call it? Not a strike, but they're gonna do a claim. Yeah, if I get a claim, I'm gonna be mad. We'll be able to do call-ins no more.
You guys can't have nice things if you're trying to do the musics on my show.
So real quick, a quick review on the Serene. It's a very soury beer, very tart. W-I-9-L-L asks, what nights do you stream on? Usually every Friday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That is my time. Yeah, Clint nailed it. Warner Bros. Music is calling. And it's not like that's like not the most internet iconic thing. It's probably like I can name that song in 2 bars. Yeah, it wasn't enough Rickrolling Josh about hitting him simplex from the East Coast. Yeah. That's funny. Gay and MRD stuff, you'll be okay. All right, I'll let you know. 395 Expeditions, where are you located, sir? As you said, you're trying to call me on the FT2 again from the beginning of the show. It's tough, man. Tough to go on an HT. You really need to go mobile. Any recommendations on 2-meter all mode radios? I mean, you got to go with the 9700. That's all mode. Maybe the 817, a nice used one. Russell Hoffman, I apologize about too many acronyms. If you'd like, feel free to let me know what some of them that bother you are, or join us on the Discord and we can sort them out. Sorry about that. Ah, I see. Dawn N5SKT, the 991A, I believe, is cheaper than a 9700, but they don't do all the same things. Yeah. Forget your life. I think mode is not the same thing as band. So they're talking about modes. I think it is all mode. Psycho Foo, it was announced today, buddy. The 705 was announced. I mean, as far as announcing goes, it was at the Japanese show. Oh, Mike, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Okay. Brian Mitchell asked about the Renegade repeater in Southern California. It's some of the filthiest language. Was curious how people get away with it. I always get a good laugh either way. Why don't we take that and move to the Discord after chat, because it's going to get a little salty. You're in there, buddy. You're in there. I can hear you in the noise, but I'm not making it. The Westfalia asks opinion on, do you mean the FTM 400? Yeah, I heard the CQ on that calling station. Sorry, buddy. You're in the noise. Dennis, no mention on price, but we speculated deeply on it. If I hear anything, you'll be the first to know. Oh, you're so close. I heard the beginning of that, but it's not making it. I'm sorry. That's going to be a broken contact. not going to be able to make that work. Yeah, the FTM 400 that the 1965 Westfalia is talking about, that is the radio I have in my car right now. And I did I do a review on it? Did I do a review on that? I don't know that I did. I really like it. It's very good. Whoa. Outlander Systems. Someone claimed $900 based on yen conversion. I don't know, man. I don't see it. Kyle, hardcore parkour. Well, you're going to have to wait for the video to get reposted, or maybe you're watching from a while back. It's in DMR mode, or what is it? Anyway, doesn't matter, because we're pretty much done. Yeah, so I think everybody agrees that if it's $900, it's a buy. It's a strong buy. Yeah, Lee, I'm with you, Lee. It's not selling for $900. But if it is, like, wow, it's gonna murder the competition. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the fact that it doesn't have a tuner in it, they're gonna save money on, and then you're gonna be able to rock it with $900. $1,800 with the sound card. No, because the 7300 has a sound card. Lee Harrell asked about a regular HF yet net. We have thought about that. In fact, where's Connor? Connor's going to be in the Discord. Let's go talk to them. Anyway, we're running long. We made it. Guys. Oh, almost forgot. Can't forget. Want to say a big thank you to the patrons, particularly the show producers here. Thank you so much for everything and all the support you do. I will have, like I said, the newsletter will be going out pretty soon here. We are going to head to Discord, so make sure you take the link in the bottom to join Discord. It's free, and it gets you right into the Ham Radio Crash Course Discord, which is a lot of fun, very active, and lots of people on the chat. So without further ado, thank you to Chris Ebert, Jason Brown, Jason Siebert, David Danzero, Danny Miller, Wesley Magyar, Barbara Schrock, Will Ladd, and Will, thanks for the Homeland Security Interoperability book. I'm sure that many boffins had to die to get those plans in my hands, and I appreciate that. Thank you very much. And Franklin Lewis, Brad Snyder, Dennis Dunderdale, Garrett Larson, Jonathan Franson, 86DM Dennis, the Wyoming Ham, and thank you, Wyoming Ham, for the FT3. Let me borrow that. That is back on the road to you. Hopefully it's already there. Randall Hinsley, Dennis Mickelson, George Gaini, Andy, Kenny Miyamoto, Ron Thorson, Ken Hall, Corey Vuelta, Mr. Mode, Devin B. Hedge, Mark Chase, Raymond Cracker, Geraldo Kelso, Rob, K8, oh boy, I'm getting old, K8BCR, Lee Harrell, Michael Kearney, Steve Barker, Mark Fields, Corey Sheldon, Brad Nadal, Stephen Hunt, Brian Nosowitz, Connard Carroll, Mike Marusin, Mike Harrell, oh man, I made it too small for my own eyes, Harrelly, and Gerald Carpenter, and the Brew Crew. Yay. And Wyoming Hand says, tomorrow's the big day. Okay, well, don't tell people, because then they're just going to show up. They're going to show up to Wyoming and find your radio. All right, hit me up on the Discord. Slide into the live voice chat. Let's go check it out, guys. I had a lot of fun. Take it easy.